Brandon Cobb was a former medical device sales rep who happened upon real estate after getting laid off from his dream job. Now, Brandon runs a vertically integrated firm, HBG Capital, and manages $35 million of new development annually. And HBG Capital's focus is in the affordable entry-level build-to-sell and build-to-rent housing in the Nashville, Tennessee market. He has been featured on 100 plus podcasts and REI Wealth Magazine, Realty 411 Magazine. And as we prepare to delve into our conversation on the topic at hand, entrepreneurial resilience, building teams, nourishing lives, and paying it forward with Brandon, here is an exciting twist. Let us tickle the brain of our guest today. And Brandon, get ready for a rapid fire round of random words. I'll mention a few. And I would expect your response briefly, without thinking much. And if you are ready, let's get started.
Hey, it's great to be here. Let's get started.
All right. So, Brandon, here comes the first rapid fire word. It is curiosity.
New ideas.
Invention.
Growth.
Future.
Very, very bright with opportunity.
Book.
10x is easier than 2x.
Movie.
The Usual Suspects.
Food.
The Jolly Green Giant smoothie from Brian Johnson.
Mm-hmm. And then wealth.
Time and doing what you love.
Creativity.
Fostered when you have time to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Next is universe.
Interconnected.
And the last one is success.
Time disappears.
Awesome. Brandon, I really appreciate your participation in the first rapid fire round so sportively. And folks, welcome to the Girding Voice podcast series, where we embark on transformative conversations for a better future. I'm your host, Navin Samala, dedicated to making the world a better place through valuable discussions that add value not only to your life, but also to your career. And thank you so much for tuning in. And Brandon, hearty welcome to the Girding Voice. And I'm thrilled to host you today and have this engaging conversation on entrepreneurial resilience. Excited to have you.
Hey, I'm excited to be here. That was put me on the spot. Awesome. Great way to start an interview. I got the creative juices flowing now.
Yeah, let's continue that and we'll get into our conversation. We'll start with your success mantra. So please share with our audience the top three things that have contributed to your success so far.
Number one, and this might come as any surprise, but you know, the who, not how concept. You can't go it alone. You're going to have great people. And I honestly don't feel like I can take credit for anything that I do. If I do anything, it's connecting and hire people who are a lot smarter than me. So my ability to surround myself with A-plus rock stars is definitely the number one thing, right? If this person that you're hiring can't come in and teach you something on how to do it better or teach you something you didn't know about this department or this role that you're hiring for, I don't hire them. So that's number one. Number two is staying within my unique ability. So being able to identify, hey, what are the dollar per activities that I need to be focused on and try to get rid of everything else. Kind of unique way to figure that out is doing a time audit. So if you've never done a time audit before where your alarm clock goes off every hour and you write down all the activities you're doing in that hour, and then at the end of the week, you just assign a dollar per hour activity to those, you are losing money. Highly recommend you do that. So that's number two, staying within your unique ability. And then number three is having a very clear vision. People go, especially me, gosh, you know, I get sidetracked so easily, probably my ADD growing up, and having a very vivid vision on something that I work towards to prevent me from getting distracted. Those three things have been the top three things that have really been instrumental in, you know, what I would consider my success.
Mm-hmm. Those are real nuggets of wisdom. And the second one actually resonates so well. And it reminded me of Malcolm Forbes' quote, never hire someone who knows less than you do about what they have hired to do. So I think that's a great resonance over there. And with that, let's move to the next question, Brandon. And the next one is about, what do you enjoy most about your work or your entrepreneurial journey?
So, you know, we're in real estate development. We have a focus on building entry-level housing in around Nashville, Tennessee community. A big need for that product type. And there's something about taking a piece of land that has nothing on it and building a community that connects people, that pays tax revenue to the city, something that a family gets to raise their kiddos in. It's really, really cool. So I really part of the thing, taking something that nothing and creating a whole community of it. So I get a lot of joy and intrinsic satisfaction from that alone.
That's amazing, Brandon. And I think you are fulfilling the dreams of many aspiring homeowners, and which is a great thing. And I can relate to you in terms of the kind of kick that you're getting by doing what you are doing at this moment. So, Brandon, can you share a specific experience where effective team building played a crucial role in your entrepreneurial journey? And the reason for asking this question is very simple, because you mentioned you have to be surrounded with A-plus rock stars. So talk to us about your A-plus rock stars.
Yeah. So the one that stands out the most is when I realized that I needed to hire a team. So, you know, it was at a time where I was about a year into my entrepreneur journey. And as a new entrepreneur, what do? You wear all the hats. And so I had gotten into a position where I was building a house myself. I was also managing two other rehabs at the same time. I was answering all the phone calls that were coming in for potential acquisitions. I was going all the appointments, trying to nail down those. I was doing all the follow-up. I was getting all the mailers ready to be sent out. I was doing all the marketing. I had reached capacity. And I remember we put this house under contract before it was built. This couple showing up every day and had a timeline to beat, and their dad was a builder, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. It was one of those situations where I was like, hey, look, you know, high risk tolerance, we're just going to figure this thing out. And imagine showing up every day trying to figure something out, and you've got this couple breathing down your throat, and their dad was a builder, and I just hit a wall. my GC walked off the job. I was having to self-manage it. Mm-hmm. And I remember having to wake up at 5 a.m. every single day. I would go to the job site, and I remember cutting my finger. It was just the last straw point. I'd cut it on that had this little aluminum on it. So my finger's bleeding. This contractor's screaming at me to get paid. I'm like, I'm not paying you until this is inspection. My phone's blowing up. I'm missing calls that I'm paying for. The marketing's not going out on time. I'm missing out on sales because I'm not able to follow up. And I realized I did not want to do this anymore. This was a nightmare. And so it forced me to start looking out and hiring people. And that experience is what said, okay, what am I really good at? I joined a mastermind group that had said, hey, hire what you're best at last. And for me, my background in medical sales gave me a unique competitive advantage over some of the others in the industry. So I said, I'm first going to get someone to just answer the phones, start at the very top of the funnel, somebody to answer the phones and set the appointments. And then I'm going to bring somebody on board who can manage these projects, because I have no business doing construction. I have no construction background right there. So getting very clear about what I was really good at and needed to focus on first, and then outsourcing those other activities. And you know, I can say if I hadn't made that decision to hire a team for that day or gone through that stress that forced me to get out of my comfort zone and do things that I had never done before, I probably would have ended up going bankrupt or just not wanting to do it because it was way too much work.
That's a great story, and I really appreciate you sharing so candidly. Brandon, entrepreneurship is a roller coaster ride, right? And there are ups and downs. And during the initial phase, at least, there will be a lot of downs compared to the ups. So how do you maintain motivation during challenging times as an entrepreneur? And do you have any advice for those struggling to stay motivated?
Yeah, it's a roller coaster ride. I mean, there's absolutely no way you're going to start a company, grow a business, and not have huge, huge setbacks. It's your ability to overcome those setbacks and those obstacles that will catapult you to success. And there's a few things you can do to help you going through some of these really tumultuous times. Number one is you've got to have a really strong why. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? When you're going through tough times and you need something to pull from, what's it you're trying to create? Why is it that you're doing for what you want to do? And you know, if you're just doing this for money, then you're going to get crushed mentally because the money is not going to be enough. You'll just go and you'll, you know, have a W-2 job. You'll go back to that. So you have to have a why. My why is I want to create as many unique, unforgettable experiences with those that I love. And that's why I do what I do. So when times are tough and they're not working out, I've got that to pull from because I don't want to live an ordinary life. I want an extraordinary life. I don't want to be on my deathbed, 100, 110 years old going, crap, dude, what did I do with my life? And have all these regrets. And so for me, not having those regrets is centered around creating those unique experiences with those that I love. This is why I do a mother-son trip every year. I do a father-son trip every year on my dad's bucket list. I do a trip with my brother and sister, something on their bucket list every year. And so I feel like I'm doing that. And so that's why I do what I do. They give me the time and the freedom and the money to do the things that I want with those that I love. So that's number one is how strong why. Number two is have to surround yourself with a strong community, other entrepreneurs or other people in the same business. Because your ability to solve the problems you're going through, if you can find people who've already done it, that's going to make it a lot easier. If you can have someone to talk to, people who are on the same journey as you or people who've already been through the same journey that you're on, be able to talk to them, know that, hey, things are going to be okay, or here's how you can do this, that's going to help get you through. You got to talk. And when things are not going good, number three, and this kind of relates back to community, You've got to get it out. You have got to have somebody to talk to. You've got to have other people to share what's going on with. You can't keep all of that stress, all the mental stuff that you're going through. You got to get that out. And having other people who are, you know, for me, other entrepreneurs, but specifically in the people that are in the same business as me to talk to and get that stuff off my chest, that really gives me an emotional like cleanse that I need to kind of push through and go to the next level. So those three things have been really, really helpful when dealing through the downside of the roller coaster ride.
Yeah, amazing. And I love the mother-son trips and father-son trips that you plan every year. I think this is something what other listeners and audience can get inspired and do that. And that's great. That's a great tip, Brandon. Let's move forward and talk about your healthy lifestyle, right? So in what ways has prioritizing a healthy lifestyle influenced your productivity and also the decision-making as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so my health is first. It's the foundation of everything. You could categorize me as borderline obsessed and maybe even a little bit crazy with my health. So I've been the same weight for probably 12 years. I'm 33 years old. Mm-hmm. And health comes first before everything else. You know, we've all heard the whole airplane thing, put your mask on first before you take other people. Same thing. If you're not taking care of yourself first, you cannot take care of other people. So when it comes to productivity alone, it's not how many hours you work a day.
Yeah.
It's how efficient are you, right? There's a lot of people out there working and they're in a rowboat and they don't realize it. And then you can row for 12 hours a day. But if I'm over here in this speedboat, taking care of my brain, being healthy, I'm feeding my body what it needs. I'm giving it energy to think. I'm consistently giving my brain glucose to be optimized and think at the highest level possible for as long as possible. I can accomplish what you did in a rowboat in 15 minutes, maybe even less. So that type of vehicle. So what do I do, right? So it's green smoothie every single day in the morning. That's absolutely huge. Getting two cups of vegetables, getting two cups of fruits in every single day. I can tell you for my mental clarity, I started cold plunging last summer in July in 2022, bought a cold plunge. That has absolutely catapulted my productivity to a new level. My brain is much more clear. I noticed, you know, when I speak, my words connect to each other in a way that they didn't before. I'm able to make better decision-making processes. And there's no boot up period. I think we're all kind of familiar with this, you know, 8 to 10, 10:30, coffee, okay, kind of coffee crush, then go. When you jump into a bath of water that's 48 degrees, there's no brain fog. There's no boot up period. Every cell in your body is completely alive. So I do that every morning after my workouts. And I mean, I'm awake afterwards. My central nervous system is stimulated and I'm feeding my brain glucose every 3 hours. So I eat every 2.5, 3 hours. I have a high metabolism. I work out a lot. I need energy. And so there's no crash period for me. I am like the Energizer Bunny. I go. I work from anywhere between 8 a.m. a.m. Every single day is kind of when I start, and I keep going until, you know, usually my wife gets home. She gets home late. I'm off till about 7 p.m. And then, you know, most days it's somewhere around 5 or 6 p.m., just depending on what we got going on. But these little things that help my health help me get more done and make better decisions. You know, I significantly reduced, I pretty much stopped socially drinking earlier this year. And I can tell you, go 7-8 weeks without alcohol and there will be a shift. You know, people, even if you have one or two drinks every other weekend, that alcohol is affecting your brain. It is making you dumber, literally, quite literally. I mean, it is a poison and we know this, but you don't know this because if you've had one or two drinks every few weeks for decades, then you've been stuck at this baseline and you don't even know you're stuck at the baseline until you get out of it. So I challenge everyone, you know, go 2-3 months without drinking and watch what happens to you mentally and how you feel the next day and how you're able to make decisions. It's a complete game changer.
Yeah. No, I can resonate with you. There are a few practices in India also. People observe austerity for about 7 to 8 weeks and they also get into this realization mode. And in fact, during COVID-19 also, alcohol was not made available in India. All those alcohol stores were closed and people did not consume liquor as they used to. And I can resonate with you on that part. And also having cold shower, in fact, I am also used to having cold showers right from my childhood, and I rarely go for hot water bath, and I think we shared some common stuff out there. And Brandon, let's keep moving. And a while ago, we have spoken about the challenges, how your challenges have been dealt, right? So now let's flip the question and talk about how to maintain positive outlook when you come across these challenges. Like, because we need to have that, you mentioned about having a strong why. Other than that, is there anything else which is aiding or helping you maintain that positive outlook, especially when you feel low?
Yeah. So again, there's no getting around the negative things are going to happen to you in life. It's your ability to overcome the tumultuous times that's ultimately going to catapult you into success, right? I mean, that's the differentiating factor, is you can't kill me. Like, I'm going to keep going. I'll always figure out a way. Like, your ability to survive is the key. And one thing that has a huge role in that is, what vision do you have for yourself? If you're competing against, you know, if I'm competing against something, we have this COVID thing happen, one developer in it, and his vision is, oh, I want to drive nice cars. I want all the hot girls to like me. You know, I want high status. You know, I want to make a lot of money. And that's his vision. That's the reason he's doing what he's doing. That's what he's working towards. When things get tough, he's not going to have enough leverage over himself to push through those tough times. Whereas, you know, me, for example, I'm like, all right, I want to be, you know, I'm doing annual mom son trips. We just got back from Savannah, Georgia. My mom's a history teacher. She loves history. So every single year we go somewhere historic. I do a brother sister trip every year. It's a bucket list item to see the excitement in my brother's eyes when we go to Moab, Utah, and driving these ATVs up and down Hell's Revenge and on the rocks, and we're biking slick rock, or we're going and doing the bourbon chill with my dad, which, like, he loves bourbon. He loves the history of bourbon. He also really likes drinking bourbon. And to be able to connect with him in a way that I've never been able to connect, when I'm working for these experiences and I've got this vision of what I want in my life, to be able to take 2 weeks off and go travel with my wife in New Zealand, like I'm doing here in late January, and there's a tough time, I've got something to fight for. I've got this vision that I've created in the future. I've got leverage over myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's really lacking, is people have not taken the time to sit down and iron out what you want your life to look like. Everybody's in these little boats trying to get to where they want to go, but they're rowing. They're not getting here. They're going in circles because they've never stopped and said, hey, this is where I want to go. So having that clear vision and again, making it as clear as possible to get leverage over yourself, that's going to be the differentiator.
Cool. I loved it. I loved it. And Brandon, let's move forward and talk about you attending Tony Robbins conferences. That seems to be a significant part of your journey. So share with us the most impactful lessons or takeaways you gained from those experiences especially with regard to the entrepreneurship part?
Man, I we could do 8 hours on this. There's so much. But the big concept that really trickles down into a lot of what Tony teaches is this idea of limiting beliefs. And it's very, very powerful. I'll tell you one experience I had at Tony Robbins Business Mastery. As I went to the event, because I always want to go to the Tony event, and I had some reservation. And some of those reservations, well, I'm already in a mastermind with other real estate guys. Like, what's he going to teach me about real estate that I don't already know? Like, I'm getting the secret Krabby Patty formula for these guys that have built these businesses that I want to build, and they're giving me the blueprint. What could I possibly get from him in this event that he done? But I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going to go to this event. You know, I want to go. And it was very, very, I would say that from the other real estate masterminds I got, I was getting a lot of technical information. I was getting kind of the science behind it. When I went to Tony, it was all mindset shift. It was a mindset shift. You know, there's the famous story about the runner, and I can't remember what this guy's name is, but he was the first man that broke the 4-minute mile, a record that hadn't been broken ever. No one had ever done it. The scientists said, this is completely impossible. Nobody can do it. Well, as that guy broke it, that year there were 30 other guys that also broke it. So what changed? It was just the idea that you knew something was possible. And so, you know, going to this event, they rewire how you think about your problems and your limiting belief. For those that you don't know, it's a belief that you have about yourself that's holding you back. You know, when I was younger and I was first starting, one of my limiting beliefs was I can't manage people because I've never managed people before. And then I was forced to hire people and forced to manage them and forced to take the hits and make the mistakes that would one day make me a really good manager. You know, there was a moment in time where I kind of felt like a fraud as an entrepreneur. I was like, you know, I'm not making a whole ton of money. I have this title as, you know, real estate developer, and I'm telling people this at parties or social gatherings. And I just kind of felt like a fraud because I didn't believe it at heart. But once I had some successes underneath my belt, I was like, wow, I've got this confidence. I've bought into this identity. It's who I am. And that confidence, when you act with confidence, your ability to make decisions and your ability to interact with people, people feel that confidence. Yeah. And that leads to better things happening to you in life. So your mentality, how you see life will happen to you. If you feel like there's opportunity out there and things are going to happen for you, it's going to happen. And if vice versa, you feel like things are not going to happen to you and you're not going to be able to do it, that's going to happen to you as well. So it was a very, very big mindset shift around identifying these limiting beliefs. And then what can we do to remove those limiting beliefs so we can get out of our own way?
Yeah. So this is actually motivating me to attend one of those sessions. And thank you for sharing that information. And this has been fabulous
conversation. Oh, you got to go into it. It's a game changer.
Yeah, indeed. I can understand totally. And as you said, the example of the record breaking, right? And I can relate to certain aspects in terms of who has defined that particular nothing? Nobody has defined that nothing, right? So we tend to limit ourselves, like, but as and when people start realizing, okay, it is possible, we tend to do that. Like, for example, I'll share my own experience. I never imagined that I would do a 10K run like that. It is about 16, 17 years ago. And first time I did it, when I did, it was 56 minutes. And the next time onwards, every year I broke my own record. Like the best I could do was 45 minutes. And later on, when I embarked on 100 kilometers bicycling, cycling, right, initially I took about 8 hours. And the very first time when I thought, is it really possible? But I thought, okay, let me do it. And then it actually helped me in terms of achieving that mindset shift. And I did that continuously for over 10 years. And yeah, I can resonate with you on that aspect as well. And we have had incredible conversations so far, Brandon. And it's time for us to add some more spice and some more excitement to the episode. So it's time for us to kick off the second rapid fire round with a set of intriguing questions. If you're ready, let's get started.
Yeah, I'm ready. Shoot.
All right. So here comes the first bullet. If you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say?
Who, not how.
So powerful. What's one thing you are really bad at that you wish you were good or better at?
Holding deep deep relationships with people.
Mm-hmm. And can you describe yourself in just one word?
Resourceful.
Awesome. And what is your favorite thing about living in the current times, the 21st century?
Access to any information you want. We can click a couple buttons and get an answer to any question. That is amazing.
Yeah, concur with you. And here comes the next one. If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
Oh, to read minds for sure. I would love to be able to read my mind's my wife's mind. That would be quite the experience.
All right, that's a great response. We'll move to the last one for the rapid fire. What is one electronic gadget that you'd like to see or invent yourself?
Dude, we need to get rid of the wires. Get rid of the wires. We need to be able to charge stuff remotely. However we do it, charging or just in general, your car, your house, just get rid of the electric wires.
Mm.
Electric charging wires.
Yeah, that's a good one. I have also mentioned about it one of the previous episodes, saying that if at all somebody gives me an opportunity, I think I would see a cable-free world and the charger-free world.
Yes, cable-free world. That is what I want. Yes.
Great. So this has been interesting rapid fire, and let's flip back to the mainstream, Brandon. And if you could distill your entrepreneurial journey into one piece of advice for our audience, what would that be?
Ask yourself this question. If you were on your deathbed and you were going to die tomorrow, what are the things that you regret not doing?
Wow.
And go do those things. Build something that allows you to do those things. That question alone, what am I going to regret if I was going to die tomorrow on my deathbed? That has helped me get very clear on what I should do. And that's a lot like entrepreneurship.
I loved it. Simply amazing. And Brandon, how is your experience being hosted on the Guiding Voice platform? I think you have been on 100 plus podcasts. So I would really love to hear your honest feedback about this.
I love your structure. I love the rapid fire questions. You really get the creative juices flowing to pull stuff out. I feel like we've covered quite a bit of stuff in a very short amount of time. I think you did a wonderful job.
Thank you. Thank you for the feedback. And I really appreciate you taking time and joining me in this conversation today. And I look forward to host you again in future. And thanks once again for all the insights that you have shared with our audience today. So have a good rest of the day and have a great time, and wish you all the best on all your future endeavors.
Well, I really appreciate that. I got one question for you, though. What you said, you work a W-2 job. What are you trying to work towards? What's the end goal and what's in your way?
So my end goal is to shape the careers and lives of millions across the globe. So they should be able to find information, curated information at their fingertips. Right now, if you have a question, you're asking ChatGPT or Google. But that information is being pulled from certain web pages or other sources. If you look at the Guiding Voice platform, if you wanted to know some information about a particular topic, you'll directly hear from the guest whom I interviewed. That is my end goal.
Okay, cool. So you're on a mission to impact. Okay. You see, you're going full time with this. Are you trying to quit your W-2 job, or are you happy with the way things are
going? No, I'm going to go full time. I'm expecting to grow my revenue so that I can do it full time. And I have also started a podcast in Indian, two other Indian languages, and I'll be expanding to a few more Indian languages. So likewise, I have a big vision, because the other purpose of launching podcasts in Indian languages is to make sure that these languages stay alive, because though English is a global language, we still have to go with our native language and preserve those. So I'm trying to attempt that one also in terms of saving our native languages.
Okay, very cool, man. Doing different languages in it. Well, hey, I appreciate you having me on, and hey, keep in touch if there's any synergies there.
Absolutely. All right, so you can feel free to drop now, Brandon. Thank you.
See you, man.
So, folks, that was our episode with Brandon Cup. And before we jump into the fun trivia section, we have a quick request for you. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast from wherever you have tuned in, because subscribing keeps you updated on the new episodes. And if you have enjoyed the conversation and found it useful, please share with at least three of your friends or colleagues who would also like the Guiding Voice podcast. Please spread the knowledge and help others grow just like you. And your support means a lot. It helps us create more content for you and also our growing community. Thank you so much in advance for your support. And let's move forward to the previous segment of today's episode. So if you remember, Brandon mentioned about Tony Robbins' session's influence on him, especially the kind of mindset shift that has happened and which is going to help you overcome the limiting beliefs. I thought I would present you a few facts about Tony Robbins. In case if you haven't already heard about him, here are the top three facts. One is the best-selling author. Tony Robbins is the author of 6 internationally best-selling books, including Awaken the Giant Within, Unlimited Power and Money, Master the Game. And second one is about seminar attendance. Tony Robbins seminars and events, including Unleash the Power Within and Date with Destiny, have attracted millions of attendees from over hundreds of countries. And third one is about philanthropy. Through the Anthony Robbins Foundation, Tony Robbins provides meals to over 2 million people in 56 countries annually during the holiday season. So these are a few facts from my side. And if you know any other facts related to Tony Robbins, or if you have any interesting aspects or the lessons from your own entrepreneurial journey, please feel free to comment about it on YouTube. If you are watching the video there, or if you have found this episode on social media platforms, you can leave your comment there. I'm going to review them for sure. And that's it for today's episode. Thank you once again for tuning in and also for being part of our awesome community. So folks, we would love to hear from you. So do not hesitate to share your ideas, feedback, topic recommendations, guest speaker suggestions, either through our social media or through our email address. You can reach out to us through theguidingvoiceforyou@gmail.com and let's create content that resonates with you. I'm your host, Navin Samala, a lifelong learner, and my goal is to have impactful conversations that improve not only your life, but also your career. Stay connected as we journey together. And until next time, take care, stay inspired, and remember, the future holds great things because the best is yet to come. Goodbye for now. See you all in the next episode with another amazing guest. Take care.